Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I am Tim Hayes. I am your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free thanks to the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. If you go to the website, whyagain.org, and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. A great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. It's hard to come up with words for how powerful and how positively the repeated use of that tool has impacted my life. So beyond just reading about it in that chapter 24 of his book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, you can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file, and this the way they've set up the website, all you have to do is click on the link and download the PDF file. Print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over and over again, absolutely free. Which is truly amazing if you think about it, with all of the different things that there, and some of them are quite good, quite useful tools available on the internet, but you have to at least sign up for their mailing list, or you have to at least pay a minimal amount. And this set of tools is available absolutely free, which some would say is counterproductive because people think there's no value in it because they're not charging a ton of money for it. Be that as it may, it is still available absolutely free. And if you want to up the ante, you can go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and it will let you download an app before you're done typing the word forgiveness. You'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you choose to click on that, it'll let you download a completely free and private app that contains the reality management worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to use these tools and introduce them to even younger audiences. On top of that, absolutely free is a host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have called in and been stepped through that worksheet process. So those audio files can serve as a tutorial for you to establish the skills and then improve, continually improve the skills of working with these tools and making them more and more efficiently effective for you in resolving negative emotions that you generate and seeing through the real upsets in relationship and disturbances in relationship that your mind will try to convince you is caused by the people and things around you. When in truth, in this work, we understand each of us creates our own emotional experience in each new present moment by how we're choosing to interpret and respond to the life events that unfold around us. It's interesting, I was reflecting on it last night, that it's been a long time since we've talked about the whole host of other tools that are available on the whyagain.org website. And it's interesting how when we, last year we got into doing the Course in Miracles lessons every day, and now this year so far we've been doing the Way of Mastery lessons every day. Before we got into the Course in Miracles, we were talking quite a bit about A Course of Love in the year before that. So, you know, this internet show has evolved and moved a little bit away from the host of core tools that are available on that website, whyagain.org. So I just want to highlight that when you click on the Start Here link and you go to the page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Weiss's book, and you can also download the worksheets, a whole slew of worksheets related to different versions of the Reality Management Worksheet, which is the core tool in this work. If you scroll down on that page, you can management sheet that goes along with the lecture Dr. Michael Rice has available for purchase, which is Getting the Stress You Need. There is the Codependence to Interdependence worksheet, which goes along with the lecture that's available to purchase of the same title, Codependence to Interdependence. There are the tool called the Mind Shifter tool. I call it Targeted Journaling. And a list of categories that you can journal on, and a series of other tools, many of which have their own two-hour lecture or have been paired with a two-hour lecture. So there's an entire system for learning more about not just how you manage your emotions, how you create your emotions, but also about your relationships and how you can understand that every relationship you're in provides opportunities for healing. So there are things like the, you know, healing through relationship lecture, and there are things like the communication, did you hear what I think I said lecture. And that has a tool called the Responsibility Communication Tool. The Healing Through Relationship lecture has a tool in it called the Commitment, and that continues to get refined and strengthened over the years. So a wealth of tools, a wealth of teachings, and it just came to me to mention over the past few years, we've focused almost exclusively during the internet shows on the Reality Management Worksheet, and I just want to make sure people get reminded that there's a whole host of tools on that website that can be part of a system of you improving the quality of your life and experiences. So, also this year we've been working through the Way of Mastery, and yesterday we completed reading through Lesson 10. And I think I mentioned that on Friday, whatever was happening, whatever was flowing through onto the airwaves on Friday was different enough that it got isolated out and put on the webpage on the MindShiftersAcademy.org webpage that's highlights from the Way of Mastery with commentary. So today's a Tuesday, and I should remind people that absolutely free of charge, somebody pointed out to me that in the emails I send out about this, there's no mention of need to pay, and yet there's no statement that it's free. So you don't have to pay to join us for the support groups from 6:30 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday night and Thursday night. They're done through Zoom. They've been, both of them now have been done through Zoom ever since the coronavirus restrictions went into play. And that's another good way for people to get clarification, to get a strengthening of their knowledge of these tools and a facility for using them, and or to get this living example of another human being struggling with the similar issues, and then it's a reinforcement for we're not in this alone. We're basically, we're all in this together. And everybody has the capacity to get triggered, and everybody has the capacity to use their experience of being triggered as the impetus for change and growth, especially if they've got access to some effective, efficient, powerful tools. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. I should talk about how if you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little hand up by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code as I turn on your microphone, and we can have a discussion. The Way of Mastery is divided into 3 separate books. It was intended to be 3 separate books. And the first book, The Way of the Heart, has 12 lessons in it. And yesterday we completed reading through Lesson 10 with commentary. So, you know, Lessons 1 through 8, I believe we read each of them twice before moving on. Lesson 9 we just read once. Lesson 10 now we've read once. And we're moving toward the culmination of this first book, this first pathway, The Way of the Heart. And by culmination, I mean just the first run-through of being exposed to the whole idea. And it really hit me by the time I got to near the end of Lesson 12. And I think I've mentioned this before, that I read each of the lessons many times over before moving on to the next lesson. I waited until I felt a strong calling. To move on. And I remember that when I got to Lesson 12, I kept hearing how it's probably important to go back and reread and work for a different level of integration and understanding for all that had been shared in the first 12 lessons. It prompted me to go back and start at the beginning again and work through. So if there's a part of you, which is so common from the Western mind, that wants to race ahead and find some big gem or some big key, or if there's something in your mind that's saying, boy, it's going to be so great to get done with that first lesson and move on and see what's coming in the next lesson, that is part of the trap of the egoic mind. That is part of what David Boehm has called sustained incoherence. That's part of not being fully with what is in the moment and what's happening. So, you know, this at one level, in lesson 12, it says, you know, the way of the heart is a good beginning. And the Western mind would then say, okay, then what's next? But the awakened heart understands the importance of starting at the beginning again now. If it's a good beginning, it's a good place to start now. And if it's a good beginning, it's an important place to be in each new present moment before I try to move on to or into something else. So, the next lesson is a meditation into the heart of Christ. And so it isn't something I'm going to race into. I'm going to try to ask people for comments, questions, answers, insights that have come from the first 10 lessons before moving on, before either rereading lesson 10 or going back and rereading lesson 9 and lesson 10. The essence of this work is that we step into the challenge of disrupting the status quo in our mind, of disrupting the auto-response system, of becoming more and more aware of what Guy Finley would call the mechanical level of consciousness that just keeps churning and just does what it does over and over again. The call in this work, the essence of this work from, you know, the very first lesson is to wake up and understand that the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. And if you're using your intellect to try and comprehend and make sense of and boil this stuff down to its simplest, most quickly explained to others format or whatever to find the perfect words for this, if you're using your intellect for that, you're missing the point of this work. The point of this work is to become aware of your own awakened heart, of your connection to a higher mind, of the Christ mind within you, of your access to what would be called the Great Comforter or the Holy Spirit, or in the ancient Aramaic, the word was Ruka Dekudsha, that elemental force specific to humans that everyone has access to, that's in you, that's available to break off the effects of the errors in thought that you and everyone else has ever engaged in your bloodline and guide you to truth and happiness if you just ask it to. And again, That's a problem for the Western mind. The Western mind has been trained or conditioned to know things, not to ask things, not to be comfortable in the questioning, but to only be comfortable when it feels like it's successfully demanded answers. And in this work, we're being told over and over again that that can't work because the conscious logical mind cannot bring us answers. It can only churn and spin. So, stepping into any kind of a practice, whether it's an observational practice or prayer practice or meditation practice, that has you actively questioning or actively asking to be shown on a regular basis, and then working with what you experience, that's what's needed. That's what this work is calling us to. So what's been your experience with that so far in these first 10 lessons? What are your challenges? What are some of the successes you've had? 563-999-3581. Plenty of people on the call. Call that number. Press 1. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know your insights. Let us know your struggles with the idea of using what we've been doing here as a set of tools and actively applying them in your life. I'm just about finished with a book titled The Deepest Well. And I have to recommend that book for anybody who's experienced childhood adversity and or works with anybody who they think might have had childhood adversity. And it's a book by Nadine Burke with an E, Harris, MD. And the title of the book is The Deepest Well. The subtitle is Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. And fortunately, that's essentially what the way of the heart is geared to help us do. And without understanding it and having a completely different vocabulary, my eye and ear says what we're talking about in the way of the heart, the first 10 lessons that we've read, is almost exactly what's required of childhood adversity and the effects, the long-term effects of childhood adversity. It goes right along with another lengthy article that I was reading yesterday that talks about memory reconsolidation and the science behind the fact that for decades, it was thought that when you have an experience, it is indelibly written in your mind. And yet, back in the late 90s and on into the first 4 or 5 years of 2000, there was very solid laboratory research that demonstrates that the neural pathways that hold memories, and even traumatic memories, can be accessed and literally rewritten. And this, the process has been called memory reconsolidation. And it's been coming up with that label and the description of the process has been a wonderful confluence of people working in psychotherapy, but also people working in neurology and neurobiology who have no connection to psychotherapy or any particular mode of psychotherapy. So it's not like somebody developed a new psychotherapy model and now they're trying to promote it and they're trying to get everybody to buy into it and they're creating these research studies that demonstrate its effectiveness. On the other side of the coin, this is so much more effective or convincing for me because it's blending neurological studies, neurobiology studies from the laboratory in animals and in humans watching functional MRIs of the brain while people go through different experiences and tracking changes in the neural pathways and understanding that what they once thought was unchangeable, was indelible, is accessible to change, that deep transformational processes do happen, and there are people trying to codify how that happens and find out the actual mechanism for these deeper transformations and then develop this broad outline of what needs the individual pieces that need to happen that can come from a variety of different psychotherapy models. So it's not like there's only one way to cut this cake. And as I read these studies and as I read a book like this, The Deepest Well, my eye and ear says what the way of mastery and the way of the heart is calling us to do in the first 10 lessons is going to move us into an experience very much like what is needed in these research studies to induce deep, lasting, transformational change. So if anybody wants access to that article, email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. It's more research-based. It's not just for the general public to read this article on the research about memory reconsolidation. And yet the book, The Deepest Well, by Nadine Burke-Harris, is something that can be read by anybody. And it's all about the effects on the developing brain and the neurological system and the hormonal system and the fight or flight freeze or fawn system of intense stress and adverse effects in childhood and what to do about it and how to reverse it and how to heal from it. And if you don't want to do either of those two things, you can just keep digging into and usher yourself into deeper and deeper experiences within your own mind, energy, emotional energy, heartfelt, intuitive energy system with tools like the ones that are suggested in the way of mastery in just the taught by your family of origin, by the culture you live in, by the meaning and structure of the words and the languages that you've been taught. Just keep questioning, and you'll start to usher yourself into an experience that is beyond words and beneficial beyond words. So we don't have any hands up. I'll just step into the going back into Lesson 9, reviewing Lesson 9 and 10 before we move on, because it is so critical to go back and have a solid foundation of what's being suggested here. And watch what the mind says when it hears a phrase like all events are neutral. And then think about how that might clash. On the development of the physiology and the neurology and the biology of the brain and the mind and the heart. And if that's true, how could it be that all events are neutral? Allow that question. Allow yourself to have that question as we read.
Yes,
Dr.
Kim, this is Celinda, and I have been noticing that your voice is very garbled, and now within the last couple minutes, you've totally dropped off twice. I was just wondering if that's my phone or if anybody else has had that experience this morning.
I don't know. Let's see if somebody else can... Susan, are you there?
I'm having the same experience as Celinda. We're getting pretty much everything you're saying, I think, but every once in a while it gets a little raggedy, and then you'll drop off for a few seconds, and then you come back. There was a little bit of that yesterday, but it's more today. And I didn't call in because we're really doing all right with it. It's not...
Okay, well,
no,
I appreciate that.
It's a weird thing.
All right, I appreciate that. Everybody just hold on, because now that's three people,
okay. And
now four, because Ann's on, and somebody else texted me. So hold on. I'm going to hang up and dial in again, see if I get a better connection.
Okay. All right.
Good morning, Susan.
Hey. Hi. Are you on too, Ann?
Yes. Good morning.
She's not unmuted.
Nice to know it wasn't just me.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Yes,
we're there.
Any thoughts about quality?
Seems good and strong.
It's hard
at the
to tell yet.
All right.
Yeah, it's hard.
So while we
Let's
have three people with their microphones open, did anybody have any other comments or questions other than the poor quality of the audio?
other than, and I've lost most of the thought, but I've never really been fond of the word passion before, but after reading Lesson 10, and there was one little passage in Lesson 10 towards the last of the lesson that really just did a mental shift in my whole expansion of my understanding of the possibilities in passion. So I just really appreciate that.
I'm glad you're going over 9 and 10 again. Thank you. This is Ann.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and mute you all and start into 9 and see what we
get. Now you're breaking up again.
Am I breaking up now?
We can hear you, but you go, it's as if there's a very quick interruption going on, so your voice is not consistent all the time. I would keep going, and if you start disappearing, we can yell at you again or something, but I don't know if it was happening yesterday too, so.
All right, well, we'll just keep going, we'll soldier on, and go ahead and, Susan, you didn't press one, so if you do have something to offer, press one, and I'll unmute you again.
Okay.
So, risking it all, charging ahead, Lesson 9, All Events Are Neutral is the title. And what I was asking is for people to really tune into what your internal voice is saying, what part of your mind might want to argue with this and might want to say, wait a minute, Dr. Hayes was just talking about how adverse childhood events have this serious impact and how it needs to be, you know, addressed and healed and integrated and all that. And it's okay to have those thoughts. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged. Keep yourself open to question, to allow, and see what might get stirred up in you. See what might open up to you as new ways of perceiving yourself, your life, your experience, what you've been taught, and experience the severe limitations of your conscious logical mind. And from lesson one on in this book, it has been telling us, listen, the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. All your intellect can do is play back for you the trivialities that have been shoved into it. And there is so much more available to you in your life experience, in your consciousness, that comes outside the range of your intellect, of your conscious logical mind. And right here, page 5 in The Way of Mastery, the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. For indeed, the intellect was never expected or designed to be your master. It was designed to be the humble and, if you will pardon the expression, the very stupid servant of the awakened heart. So try to keep your heart open. Try to keep the questioning mind in place. And lesson 9, page 106 in the blue book that I have, is titled, All Events Are Neutral. The text reads, I am your brother and your friend who looks upon you and sees naught but the face of Christ within you. Christ is the firstborn of the Creator. That is that which is begotten and not made. Christ is the creation's only creation. Christ is the holy child of creation. Christ is as a sunbeam to the sun, radiating forever from the holy mind of creation, what I have called Abba, Father, Mother, source of all. Therefore, I come forth to abide with you in perfect joy, in perfect freedom, and in perfect reality. I come forth to join with you, with that part of you that abides always in perfect knowledge, perfect peace, perfect knowingness, and in perfect union with your Creator. I come not to speak of things that you do not know. I come not to use words that do not already abide within you. I come not with the wisdom that you do not already possess. I come not with a love grander than that which already flowers within the silent places of your own heart. I come not to place myself above you. I come only to walk as an equal beside you. I come because I love you. I come because I am your friend. Of all the things that I could possibly choose to do with the unlimited power of consciousness, which has been given equally unto me of my Creator as it has been given unto you, of all of the places and all of the dimensions and worlds in which I could reside in this moment, I come to abide with you to bridge the gap that seems to yet separate you from me. In reality, all dimensions of creation, reside in a space far smaller than the tip of a pin. In reality, all dimensions of creation are so vast that you could never measure them. Just think about that. Here, what is your Western mind doing with those two statements? How could it possibly be that all dimensions of reality, all dimensions of creation, exist within a space smaller than the tip of a pin, and in the same moment, they are more vast than you could ever possibly measure? The conscious, logical Western mind, if it's awake at all, is screaming at those two contradictory statements side by side. And that's why, as we started just minutes ago saying, the Way of Mastery wants us to understand that the way of the heart is not the way of the mind, of the intellect, of the conscious logical mind, of language itself. It is not of limitation to language and the physical realm. It's the pathway of an awakened heart, of tapping into consciousness and energies and creativity and experience that go beyond words with each new present moment. The text goes on and says, in reality, there is no gap between where you are and where I am. This is the consciousness of Yeshua speaking. This is why I can be no further from you than the width of a thought. But, oh, beloved friends, the power of a thought is the power to create universes, and within universes to create yet more universes, and within those universes to create world upon world upon world upon world upon world. Your lived experience is that momentarily your attention seems to be focused on your unique world. Your unique world, which shares some things in common with many other beings. You have what is called in your world a consensus reality. We would say a consensus experience born out of a universal reality. Beloved friends, even as you abide in your awareness in this moment, you are the creator of the world you experience. And you do this in so many ordinary ways. When you stand face to face with anyone, and for just a split second, you alter the position of the body through which you gaze upon them. You take up a new stance, a new perspective. In that very split second, you have created a new experience for yourself. When you look upon a friend and the mind moves to from neutrality, which is where you begin every experience, it moves into the thought, that is my friend Mary. Or that is my friend Saint Germain. Or that is my friend Peter. That is my friend Joanna. That is my friend Nathaniel. Whatever name may be, when you hold that thought, you already begin to change the experience. You are a literal creator in that moment. For when you name a thing, you define it according to the factors that you have built into the name that you use. When you look upon a field of energy arising from the mystery of Earth and you say the word tree, instantly you have brought forth into your manifest experience everything you have ever decided is associated with the field of energy that you have called tree. In this way, your experience is entirely unique. It has never been before. It will never be again. Nothing can repeat it. This is why creation is forever new. Yes, you can stand with your friend and look upon a tree and nod your head and say, oh, of course, that's a tree. Yes, I see the branches and I see the leaves. However, as soon as you have named it, you have brought forth all of the associations that you have called to yourself, your experience of that field of energy that you have called a tree. Rest assured, those called environmentalists and those who have been labeled loggers definitely see a different experience, though they both use the same word. Which one is right and which one is wrong? This does not apply. We want to address another of the important pebbles that you must drop into the still clear pool of your awareness. It is simply this. This thought, this pebble, this concept, this observation, all webs of relationship, all energy fields are absolutely neutral. Period. Full stop. Drop this thought, this observation, this pebble into the pool of your consciousness. All webs of relationship, all energy fields are absolutely neutral, period. What creates experience is how you decide you will view that web of relationship or that energy field. What interpretation are you going to put on it? What value, high or low, are you going to put on it? What priority, high or low, are you going to put on it? How long will you focus your conscious awareness upon it? How much will you search your mind for similar experiences? How much will you tap into your past experience and your language and your schooling and your family interactions to come up with causes and causal relationships between that energy field that you're experiencing and other things that have happened in close proximity to it? The effect of that decision is also completely neutral. What does that mean? That means I can tie myself in knots. I can get depressed. I can be enraged. I can choose to sit in confusion. I can choose to generate intense overwhelm and upset. And it doesn't change the actuality of life. It doesn't make me have any greater value or any lesser value. It doesn't make me right or wrong. It doesn't make me good or bad. All of this is just the flow of life. It will create my experience of my life, and I may have some preferences for feeling calm or for feeling angry or for feeling in control, and I can either create that experience or create the opposite of it. And that is completely neutral. The text goes on to say, but how can that be? For when the logger sees a tree and sees only the profit to be made, forests disappear. And when an environmentalist looks at a tree, well, then the tree remains and the mighty owls and the birds have a place to make their home. Surely that's what's right. Are we not to perpetuate the same reality, the same experience that all human beings have had? Is there not loss when the forest disappears? The text says, listen well and listen carefully. All events are neutral. You are the one that places the value upon it. Now, does that mean that one should become cold-hearted, unconscious, and blind to their actions? Of course not. For part of awakening means to realize one's interconnection with the web of all relationships. It means awakening a reverence for the mystery that is life, capital L, life. And it also means to release judgment of another who would view that tree differently. For you see, the body that you have crystallized out of a field of infinite energy has but one purpose. It is a communication device. Therefore, let your primary perception, your primary guiding light in your third dimensional experience be this, quote, what do I choose to communicate to the world with every gesture and with every breath, with every word spoken and with every decision made? What do I choose to communicate to the world? Close quotes. For ceaselessly while the body lasts, whether you're aware of it or not, you are engaged in the process of communicating to the world, making manifest to the world what you have chosen to value, what you have called into your experience and imbued with value. This means that ceaselessly you are engaged in teaching the world what you believe holds the greatest truth and the greatest value. And you do that by what you think, say, and do moment to moment. You do that by how you choose to spend your time. You do not do this by what you say, if what you say is different than what you do. Guy Finley has a lecture where he talks about this and says, you only do what you value doing. So when you spend time in rage, the truth of the matter is, in that moment, what you value more than anything is your anger and your rage. When you spend your time in confusion, the truth of the matter is, in that moment, you value confusion above everything else. And your life experience might be that you hate this and you don't want this. And you might want to argue and fight tooth and nail against somebody that says that's what you value and that's what you're choosing. But the only reason you're arguing against it is because you don't understand it from a higher, more integrated perspective. If no one's ever told you, introduce you to how your choice of where and how you expend your mind energy is actually a creative mechanism, if no one's ever introduced you to that actuality, then you don't know it. Then you can't know it. But the fact of the matter is, just because a person doesn't know about centrifugal force or gravity or, you know, what holds the stars in the sky and that the universe is expanding or that we're spinning around the sun, just because we don't know it doesn't mean it's not happening. The fact of the matter is, each and every one of us is actively creating our experience of life by how we're choosing to focus our conscious awareness moment to moment. What we're choosing to do with our time is communicating to people what we truly value. I've had people all through my career talk to me about what I should do and when I should do it and how I should, and my highest priority was to be there for my kids. And writing a book, promoting a book, traveling around and devoting all that time and energy to that when my children were young simply wasn't my priority. The way my life looks now, the number of hours I spend at the office, the number of hours I donate to Mindshifters Radio and Mindshifter support groups, this would not have been my choice. This was not my choice when my children were young. And my actions demonstrated what I valued. Do is what you value. What you say is what you think. But what you do is what you value. So, we're being called in this work to wake up to how it's our choice of the way we interpret and then choose to respond to this flow of energy that we call life that creates our experience of life and nothing else. We are not victims of the world we see. We've already had that experience uttered in the first 10 lessons. Over and over again, we're called to wake up to different levels of how we are creating our experience of life, and we are communicating to the world around us what we value by how we spend our energy, by what we say, by the emotions that we choose to engage in and continue to create. And this is the truth, even if we aren't aware of it. It doesn't change just because we haven't been told, just because we haven't been shown. And as soon as we wake up to that, the truth of how life is unfolding and our role as a co-creator in it, now the options for us expand exponentially on how we might use those energies and our creative influence differently. And that's what we're being called to do here. We're being called to step out of, to challenge and question the conscious logical mind at every turn, especially when our experience is a negative one. That means our perception is off. We're seeing the world through some kind of a distorted filter. We're relating to the past as though it were the present moment. We've confused our life experience with our dream state, and we are not awake and aware in the present moment. And that's what this teaching is calling us to. And I thank you all for being here. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tam. Appreciate you. I'm just getting ready to send you a text. We're actually going to be on the road the next 2 days, going to a family wedding. So we'll be doing pre-recorded shows for 2 days. So I'll send you a text.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank
Blessings.
You.
Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, May the 3rd, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I see we already have a couple hands up. And so we'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in. Like I said, we're going to be leaving in the morning and traveling to Salisbury, North Carolina. I have a nephew that's getting married, and so we're going to participate in that wedding. It's just going to be a small group. And so we'll be going there for the wedding tomorrow night, and then we'll be traveling back home on Thursday. So we're going to do pre-recorded shows of On Creating Consciously, which goes along with what Dr. Tim was just talking about, and that we are part of our creation. And so those are two really good shows, part one and part two. So definitely tune in and listen to those. And, you know, let's join in and be co-creators together in making this world different and creating what we really want in the world instead of what we don't want. And part of that is that, you know, you may be with your mouth talk about, you know, I want health and wealth and relationship and all these things, but if what you hold within is that you can't have it or you don't deserve it, or maybe it's even a generational thing. You know, if you go back and talk to your parents or grandparents, they probably also had some of those similar thoughts and feelings, and if they didn't, you know, they probably didn't have these tools and know how to work through it, and you do. And so if it comes up for you something other than what you think you really want, then, you know, you're part of that creation too. So it's, we don't just create all of the positive things we're doing in our life, and how we respond to it and how we react to it, it's all inside. And a good example of that this morning, Aria was a little bit later getting here because she had a dental checkup this morning. And she decided she didn't want to come here. She wanted her mommy to stay home from work, and she wanted to go home. And so she went through some, you know, it was, we refer to it as a healing crisis, because even for her at 3 1/2, she's cutting new teeth, and they were a little bit painful coming in. And so, you know, it was resonating a lot of, you know, needing her mama's attention. And so she was crying a lot and in some drama around it. And Michael kept holding her and talking to her about, you know, you can let this go, and you can, you know, be at peace about it. And it's a shorter day, and we'll be taking you to see your mommy soon. And you know, he just kept working with her, and we got some ice for her to suck on and chew on to help her gums kind of loosen up a little bit. And she calmed down, and she was fine, went outside and played a little while. She went down for her usual nap during the radio show, and we have plans for activity this afternoon, and then we'll take her to see her mommy. And so she was able to let it go and calm down, or she could have stayed in that drama and trauma. And, you know, that's for us too as grown-ups. You know, when something happens and we don't like it and we want it to be different, we can turn it into a really traumatic event, or we can breathe through it and calm down. And intuitively, she knew she needed water. And so she'd be crying, and she'd stop, and she'd say, you know, she'd reach for her cup and drink some water, and, you know, she'd wait a few minutes and breathe a little bit. And so, you know, working with her and teaching her these tools, even at 3 1/2, and helping her to be able to let go of the turning something into, you know, they use the term make a mountain out of a molehill, and letting it go, letting, canceling the goal for what you want, and do something different and get in a better state of mind and better centered place. And so, you know, it's, you can pass these tools on both generations, forward and backward. And so if something's going on in your life, you don't like your creation, then you change your creation. And I'm going to welcome Michael. I was just sharing with Aria that we were sharing the tools with her this morning and getting her to let go of her goal, and, you know, that she could, you know, do something different other than the trauma around it. And so she's catching on to the tools as well. And I was telling them that we were going to be on the road for the next 2 days, and we're going to be playing On Creating Consciously And so it's what all of this is about, is our creation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was interesting to watch Arya. This is the maybe second time in 3.5 years I've seen this kind of a meltdown. And she's cutting teeth, had a rough night cutting teeth. And I had actually just done a still point session and some healing work and brought Arya into that conversation as a healing participant in the process. And so it was all in all, it was a pretty sweet process, pretty sweet happening. So holding you in the space, dear little one. And we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of this conversation. And I understand we've got some hands up, Jeannie, so let's go for it.
All right. The first one is 541, and you're on the air.
Well, hey there, 541. Who have we got? Are you with us? Are you mute challenged? I know I've done that before. 541. Let's see. Is it Julie
Belinda
there? I heard a noise.
Nope.
Oh, it's Celinda. Well, hey,
Belinda,
young lady. Are you with us, Celinda? We're not hearing you yet.
No. Yes, I am.
There you are.
Right.
We got you now.
I must have pushed one by accident. But I didn't know if you got the email of my poem or not.
I have not seen an email of your poem, but we did get a piece of mail from you. Thank you, thank you.
You're so welcome.
And I did get the emails. I was just looking, so we do have it. So we'll look at it after the show.
Oh, cool. Okay,
tell us about your poem.
Well, you probably remember from what I've said before that I'm really interested in Eastern traditional Chinese medicine and the 12 meridians and the 7 chakras and all of that. And I wrote this poem in the Aramaic perspective, but I also lined it up with the 7 chakras. So I just thought you might be interested. And for Aramaic perspective being the Yeshua walk, as we are discovering it with all of our information that we receive and share with each other, and transformation,
cool,
hopefully. And so kind of a parallel.
Maybe we should get it right from the horse's mouth, and you should just go ahead and read it to us.
I don't have it with me at the moment, and I'm not sure that I could remember it all.
Okay, then we'll have a look at it.
It's on the computer, and my computer's over at the house. We're in the motive mode
right
at the moment. So.
Sure.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, holding you in our hearts, any thoughts on your mind, any questions before we move on to our next caller?
No, I don't believe so. It's
okay.
A fine morning this morning, and I hope your garden is growing well, and I'm beginning to see little life in mine, so it's all very good.
Well, I've been out this morning. Once we cleared the space with Arya, we're creating a new garden space. So I have been adding soil and punching holes in the cardboard that's the base down into the clay below and putting nutrients in and getting ready to plant some watermelon and cantaloupe and maybe butternut squash in our new garden. So we're rocking.
You
we've
must
got
be
three,
about
three
a
gardens
ahead
going
of us. Yeah. Oh, by the way, do you plant catnip?
We haven't planted catnip, no, but should we?
Well, catnip is apparently one of the prime primal herbs, mints, and I found out from The Green Pharmacy, which is a book written by James A. Duke, who was the head of the USDA Herbal Division for probably 40
right
years or more. And it's a rip of a book. It's great just to read his life story. And he said that catnip is hands down the best herbal preventative. And I'm not so sure that it isn't also a remedial for cataracts.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So catnip's not just for cats. And it's in the mint family. I didn't realize that.
And it's also a sedative, a soporific. It'll have the same effect on some humans that, or most humans, that it has on cats. But remember, about 35% of the cats, that makes them hyper instead of sedates them out. So it might be the same for some people, too. It's like all herbs. We have to really listen carefully. So very good.
Well, we'll grow some. Cool.
Yeah, and it has other benefits, too, not just about for the eyes. Yeah, very good.
Sweet.
All right.
Sweet. Awesome. All right, young lady, you have a blessed one.
You
appreciate
too.
You.
Bye-bye. Safe trip.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, our next caller is 760. I believe this is Ann. Welcome.
Oh, hey there. Yes, our Celinda and Mike, we were left over from Dr. Tim, but that's okay. Because what I heard you share first in the show, just before Michael got on, that the whole process with Aria, and I got goosebumps right when towards the end of that, and Michael, I thought of instantly the story you tell when your first child came out into your hands and, you know, and the euphoria that you were in and you could hardly teach your class. And that moment when she said that, that's what I thought of. I said, oh, what a fantastic experience. Like when you caught the child is to have Aria respond to, you know, the tools like that and how she calmed down. And it's like, whoa, that's just so cool. Anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. She just kind of put her head on my chest and just kind of sat there, and a couple of big, you know, like bubbling sighs came out, and it's fun to just let go. And we talked about wanting mom and canceling the goal, and that it was nice to share mom because she's got a job and, you know, she's committed and she has to do those things. So anyway, it was really a pretty sweet process. And by the way, that experience where I literally lost my mind, where the first time I was fully out of my mind when my, actually that was my second child. My son was born a year and a half, two years earlier. So it was with Krista Joy. And actually we didn't have a name for her picked out. And we named her during the birth, and it was just obvious what her name was. And it was Krista Joy. It was the joy of Christ. It was that, that energy. So.
Wow. But, and then I relate that, you know, because it, in that moment where I was triggered for that joy of yours, that, you know, that must be, and you've mentioned that before, and just raising her, being able to bring these tools to her at such a young age is like, for just an instant, I thought, oh, you know, the sadness came over, and I go, wait a minute. I have those tools. Never mind that thought. So I love it. I mean, you know, that the more we are inundated with the tools and like reading Dr. Tim reading through the mastery and hearing it, that we take the action, speak louder than words. Isn't that somewhere in scripture?
Right. But and my offering would be, when I hear what you say you did, oh, wait a minute, I've got these tools. I can just move on from that. And so you changed your mind, which is awesome and powerful. And that's one of the skills we want to offer to people and support. But there's another step in between. When you realized that whatever the goal was that brought up that sadness, that you want to go back, locate that goal, and go through the forgiveness process with it so that you can heal that sadness. You don't want to move on from pain states of perception. You want to heal those states. So I'd suggest going back and actually doing a worksheet or two on, you know, whatever the precise goal was in that moment and allowing that sadness to more fully surface in the presence of love and move through it, let go of it.
Which, of course, goes back to my childhood. So there you go. Well, thank you for one more piece of the healing process, of course. appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, if we're always watching our own words and thoughts and states, it's always telling us what we need to do. And to catch it in its subtle states rather than when it's rocking and raging is always a lot easier.
Amen. Yes, yes. Because I'm watching a friend go through that, you know, her son being, her son passing in a more shocking state to the family, you know, as far as, okay, this plan, or it wasn't any disease or anything, just being found, you know, on his own heart attack in a shower in a motel. So it's
ouch,
like
wow.
The sadness that comes there. Yeah. But she's doing well, you know, and remembering, and I'm, it appears that I am there in her life. So when the time's to confirm that she's doing those positive things, and there's a grief share program at one of the churches, which is great. And she already knew, you know, she signed up for that. I went to the first one. And so she's taken charge of doing those kinds of things. And, so that's lingering, but geez, that, you know, I've gone through that too. So, when you hear it from somebody else, then you can share back, which is what this whole community is about. You know, we're not alone in this, and we can share what we've been through and someone else to get out of it or deal with the goals, like you said. So, okay, one more piece of the puzzle. Thank you, sir.
Yay. Awesome. Well, you know, that line in the Course in Miracles, it says millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. And every piece of work that anyone does literally opens the energy window for everybody else to make it just a little bit easier to face that piece in their own puzzle and work through it. So thank you for your willingness and, you know, the progress, the commitment you've made. You know, I go back to the early days when you started doing this and your resistance was pretty high, and the way you just hung with it, kept coming back and doing the next layer and the next layer, and it's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. And
sweet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Both of you. Yes. And you're sharing. And you know, and you and both, and Dr. Tim, both, the transparency that you have, and I think for me, that's really helpful. Because that means you're like Dr. Tim has talked, we're all on the same level and we're just here to help each other. And that's what it's all about. So appreciate you. Thanks. Blessings.
All right. Thank you for saying thank you. All right. Have a blessed one. Awesome.
Oh, and something else that we did with Aria was after she had calmed down, and Michael asked her if he said, do you know what Nene and I were doing while you were processing? He said, we were holding the space of love for you, and that helps heal. And so just a little later, after she could calm down and was playing again, and she had her toy dog, and we were playing vet, and she said, okay, and hugged her body, did the sign language sign for love, and then said, now kiss your hands. And then rub them down the dog and said, you know, send him love. So she has it. She gets it.
And I asked our classic question, Aria, why are we here? Be love. Like, oh, Papa, you know the answer to that. So it's pretty sweet. Cool. Well, you're out there in listener land. We got a rock and roll thing happening here. So push one in. What's happening in your world? Give us a thought. Give us a challenge. What are you working through? How can we support you? What tool do you need help with? What tool do you have questions about? And just one other piece, too, as Aria came out of this, just thinking about it, when she's sitting on my knee and she's kind of put her hand on my shoulder. And then when she completes her trauma, she looks at me and she notices that I've been working in the garden. I've got a cut on my finger. And she's got Jeannie had brought her a thing with a little piece of ice in it. She said, oh, Peppa. And she took my finger and put the ice on my finger and held it there. And then she noticed I'd had a pimple on my nose. She said, oh, you've got a boo-boo on your nose too, Peppa. Here, let's put the ice on it. And so she immediately went into, you know, she had been supported and she immediately went right into support mode. And then playing, you know, they played doctor and she was playing doctor with her dog and they did quote unquote a heart surgery on the dog. And I said, well, did you add love? She said, oh, we just did the physical. I said, well, remember that when you add love, that always, it's kind of like, you know, when you were crying and you kept reaching for the water and you kept drinking, you knew you needed to hydrate. Well, the hydration, the water helps your body to heal and, you know, to work well. And love does the same thing when there's injury. And she's like, oh, okay. And went back and put her hands on the dog and sent her love. So pretty amazing to see this little amazing healer develop and grow.
She pretty also, amazing. When she looked at your fingers, she says, oh, did Nene rescue you?
Oh, yeah.
That was a new word.
Yeah, like, where did the word rescue come from? Did Nene rescue you?
And then she put a bandage on your finger.
Yeah. So while I was working in the garden, I was just kind of randomly listening and came across a presentation from the University of California and decided to listen to it. Let me find it if you want to look it up. It's really a powerful presentation that just ties in with everything that we do with nutrition. You know, if you come to Heartland, if you do an intensive, you know, you'll find that we do total fresh and raw food. And or if you do an intensive online, we have total fresh and raw support. We have an app that has 14 weeks of three recipes a day. And then we have a private Facebook page that is available for people who do intensives. And it has, you know, everything that you need to set up your kitchen and da-da-da, all of that. And so that fresh and raw vegan recipe or menu structure is part of our intensives, and we encourage people to move in that direction. So anyway, if you want to give a listen to a really powerful synopsis of what from a, this is University of California, so it's a definite, you know, medically oriented presentation. But this woman just goes through study after study after study on how, you know, the China study where they did, you know, they used to think that cancer was a protein deficiency and they would get people to eat more protein. And then what they found was, no, it's actually protein that stimulates and brings cancer into existence. And then they found out that, well, it's not actually protein, it's animal protein. They did a study and, you know, showed that they were using actually casein from milk. And that casein is a horrendous exacerbator of cancer. Now, it's logical when you understand what's beneath it. They didn't address what's beneath it, that sort of thing. But when you realize that milk from a cow is designed to cause a body to grow from, you know, conception to 1,000 pounds within a year, milk creates a lot of cell division, and, you know, it's there. It really makes the body rock. So it's perfect for a cow. I mean, it's just awesome. And, you know, one of the things we'll tongue-in-cheek say in our workshops as we introduce the food program is, and you'll notice that we're the only animal in creation, number one, that goes back to the milk source of its own species or another species. There's no other. Once an animal weans, it doesn't go looking for milk from another animal or from its own species. But there's an industry that has really brainwashed us. I mean, I forget the numbers now, but something like 60 or 70% of the curriculum of nutrition in grade schools and high schools come from the dairy industry. They've really positioned themselves to put that brainwash in there. But anyway, she goes through study after study after study on why, if you're going to be really, truly healthy, you've got to go to a plant-based diet. It's just the way it is. In any event, the name of it is Healthy, comma, and then in brackets, Nutrient, comma, or pardon me, Nutrient brackets. So the word nutrient is in brackets, wealthy and wise, colon. So healthy, comma, and then bracket, nutrient, end bracket, wealthy and wise, colon, diet for healthy aging. So if you want to give a listen to that, it's a really, it's about an hour presentation, but just a really powerful, you know, just lays it all out why you'd want to do the kind of food program that that we suggest that we've been doing for decades at Heartland. And Jeannie, it brings us thought forward that maybe it's time outside. You know, we set this program up specifically to go along with our online intensives, but maybe we should turn it into the Trello app and the private Facebook page. Maybe we should make it available to people as a separate product so that people can get that. You know, how do you transition? How do you get started? What do? How do you set your kitchen up? And so we've got, you know, and thank you to Yurate. She just did an awesome job of setting this all up, did videos and, you know, details. What do you need in your kitchen? Where do you buy it? What do you need? When do you order the food to do this menu? It's so different. She lays that whole thing out in a really powerful way. So if you're interested in that, drop Jeannie an email, and we'll talk to Yurate and see if it's something we want to do is to make it available outside of the intensives for nutritional support. And, you know, you can grow a significant amount of your own food when you, you know, even if you don't have a lot of space. You know, we don't have a lot here, but we're now, you know, we are a third garden space, and we're going to be pretty self-sufficient in food by the time this growing season completes. So we invite you to just look at what you're doing with your nutrition. You might want to give that a view from the University of California. And
I'm putting the link in the notes for the day.
Oh, great. Cool. There it is. And I was thinking maybe we'd watch that tonight. It was so much information. It'd be a good watch, sweetie. And so, beyond that, why forgive? Why would I let somebody off the hook that's done something so terrible? Well, you know what? With our expertise in forgiveness, we would suggest that you never let anybody off the hook. Well, actually, I shouldn't quite say that. If you choose to let somebody off the hook, go ahead, but don't forgive them. And the reason I say don't forgive them is because you can't forgive anybody for anything. We've been given a false definition. We've been told that forgiveness is I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. But that's not forgiveness at all. That's pardoning. And pardoning is a very nice thing, you know, letting somebody off the hook, that's cool. But if you call that forgiveness, you'll never go to the next step and do actual forgiveness, which is the way that you go inside yourself and remove the root and the source of your traumas. And so what we're looking to do with this work, in particular, because this is the missing piece, and we could spell that P-I-E-C-E and P-E-A-C-E, because people who are not at peace are not at peace because they don't understand how to forgive, how to remove the root of the traumas that are happening in them. And if we never remove the root of the traumas that are happening in us, if we never learn that skill, then people get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? I feel so blessed that the universe reserved that title for me because it's such an obvious one. And so if I'm in pain, if my mind is showing me a construct, a perceptual construct that is painful to me, I need to be about accessing the hidden part of my mind, what's underneath that that I don't know about, that's driving the whole construct of pain within me, and learn to remove it. And that, in the first century Aramaic language, is what's called forgiveness. So we're here to inform, support, and move the understanding of forgiveness on a global scale, literally to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, ultimately, is what our purpose is. And that's moving day by day further and further afield, which is pretty awesome and pretty sweet. Let's see, we'll be coming up to the second Tuesday of the month next week or pardon me, Thursday, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, at 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern Time, which is 8:30 in the evening in London, England, where they're doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again study group. And so if you want to join us for that, the link will be on the website under events, and you can join us for that conversation. There are also two sessions that we've done with the study group. It'll be, we'll be doing the second and fourth Thursday of each month until we complete the study. And I don't know when the study is going to complete. We'll just have to see how it unfolds. It's going to be take some time to work through the whole book. And so if you want to join us for that, go to the website. There'll be a Zoom link, and you can jump on and be part of that global book study. And, of course, the archives are available if you go to our website, whyagain.org. You can actually step in and do the worksheet process right there on the website. You can also click the link at the microphone, and if you drill down past that microphone, you'll find the archives, and there are over 3,000 hours of radio shows that we've done over the last going on 11 years now. And they're available free as MP3, so there's conversation after conversation after conversation around this whole idea of forgiveness and all of the corollary tools. So if you would like, come and be part of that, check out the archives. And if you want an easy, convenient way to do your forgiveness work and to be able to ask questions about the forgiveness work, then download the world's only forgiveness app. And to do that, you go to your app store on your phone and you simply type in the words Heartland, Heartland as one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, second word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. If you type those words into your app store, whether you've got an iPhone or an Android phone, you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Download it, start doing worksheets right there on your phone. The app is specifically designed to be extremely private. We have only one permission that's required. We're not interested in, you know, being able to operate your camera, dial your phone, or send text messages, or change your settings, or anything else that so many apps ask for. One permission is required, and that is the ability to use the internet. And then if you complete a worksheet and you want to print it and save it, which you can in the, from within the app, then you have to give it permission to save it somewhere to your hard drive or whatever on your phone. So you can engage in the forgiveness process right there from your phone. And there's also on each page of the app, there's a button that you can push if you have a question. You know, any refinement that you need, push that button in the app and send us an email. Put in your question. Jeannie will get that. She'll bring it up on the show, and we'll send back to you a message as to when in the radio show your question was answered. So you've got a permanent record of whatever your question was and what your answer is. So we're doing everything we can do to facilitate ease and grace in everyone being able to access and really truly use the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. And we're appreciating the opportunities that we get to interact and bring these tools forward. Ultimately, our commitment is to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So please take the tools, put them to work. Create such a strong pattern of forgiveness and understanding what actual forgiveness is in terms of the removal of trauma. Let's create such a strong pattern of it that it becomes, through critical mass, available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And this man Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, the physicist said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. He was not talking about bread. He was talking about humanity as a metaphor for a loaf, for a wholeness. And that all it takes is just a few people who will do the work to create a space, an opening for every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So help us build the that critical mass by using the tools, sharing them with others.
And this morning, Apple approved the app changes. So version 4.1 is ready to download. So whether you have an Android or an iPhone, download the latest version of the app.
And thank you, sweetie, for all the hours you put in to develop that app, to design it, and to direct its code writing process. How many 5 in the morning mornings you've had, I couldn't count them over the last 3 or 4 years that you've been developing that and working with technicians in India who are writing the code and making it functional. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for holding the space for our little guy that does our technical work. He is feeling much better. And so he was able to get the job complete with Apple, and they approved it this morning. So he's doing much better. And if anybody ever has a need to get somebody to do, you know, whether it's on an app or whether it's on a website, contact me. I'll be glad to give you his direct contact information. He's fabulous to work with. And I know, you know, I get up early to work with him, but then there's been times that he's worked with me in the middle of the day, which means it's the middle of the night for him, and he's still working on their stuff, you know, at home. So, and he's married and has a little child that's, I think she's 2, and he's just awesome to work with. So I would be glad to pass on his contact information. Drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. And we don't have a hand up. Maybe talk about, you had mentioned in the newsletter, people interested in a work week at Heartland in the fall. So maybe talk a little bit towards that.
Well, there you go, honey. Great minds think alike, because I was thinking about bringing up work week. So, and, of course, the other saying in the culture is that fools seldom differ. We just have to decide which category we want to be in. I'd say let's go for the great minds. What about you?
Absolutely.
Cool. So for anybody who might not be aware of it, one of the things that that we used to do when Heartland was open, you know, we haven't opened since COVID has struck, is that each year we would do what we call work week or work month. And a group of people would gather, and we would do workshops in the evenings, Still Point Breathing on Saturday, and then during the day, we do work projects on the property. So Heartland's been closed now going on 3 years, and it could use some support. And so I've been thinking about, and a couple of people have mentioned that they'd like to participate. I've been thinking about setting up and doing a work week maybe in the fall. So maybe on into September or thereabouts, maybe the mid to latter part of September. But if you're interested in participating in that, there will be a small fee. We'll house you and feed you, and we'll do the usually during work week, we do some cooked food as well as the fresh and raw that we do during intensives. We don't cook anything, but during work week, it helps people to stay grounded to eat some cooked food. But usually the process is pretty awesome, and a pretty sweet group of people comes together, and we'll look at what kind of projects need to be done, work on those during the day, and then step into evening workshops in a Saturday Still Point session. So if you're interested in doing that, this will be the first time we've done a live in-person Still Point session since COVID struck. Last time was in 2019 for the intensive we did at Heartland. Or I guess actually we did, after we completed that, we also did one up here too. We did one of the local residential facility.
February 20.
Laws of Living Intensive, yeah, of 2020. So that was the most recent live Still Point Breathing session that we've done. So if you're interested in any of that, drop Jeannie a note, J-E-A-N-I-E at W-H-Y, again.org.
So if you drop that note to her and make sure to include your name and your phone number, and I'll be in touch with you and see what timing works. And if you have a thought of, you know, what time frame, say in the month of September, would be best for you, let us know, and we'll see how that comes together. Beyond that, we do have one other opportunity for participation in the Still Point Breathing process. And there's a really, you know, we started this several months ago, and it's a small group, but just a really sweet community is developing of people who are really about doing their work, really on top of it all. And we've got a monthly Still Point Breathing Club, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And so the second Saturday of each month now, from at 11 o'clock in the morning, we do a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop on Zoom. And then on the Tuesday following that Saturday each month, at 7 o'clock, we do an evening session designed for question and answers for people who are engaging in the level of doing the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing process. So if you're interested in that, you can actually, you know, if you want to just participate in one session, you can do that. And the cost for the two sessions engaged in, you know, a monthly Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing group, the cost for a single session is $150. If you want to do register for three sessions, it's $125 per session for the three. And or you can register for the whole year, and it's $900 for all 12 sessions. And if you want to, you know, just try 1 month out and see if it's something you want to do, you can upgrade to the 3 month package or the 9 month package. And, you know, that would reduce the cost of your trial session, whichever package you chose to go with. So the discount would apply. You can upgrade and, you know, we'll backdate the discount to your first session. So if you're interested in doing that, again, drop Jeannie an email, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. So if you'd like to play and be part of our community, one of the things that people have expressed several times, you know, that we're into, you know, I haven't counted how many months we've been doing it now. We're planning it as an ongoing permanent thing that we do, but several people have just really expressed appreciation of the connectedness that's happening and the community that's there where there's this interactive support happening. So if you're interested in trying that out, we just had someone actually who did she did two or three test sessions, and she finally said she just loved how the community came together and how people were really getting to know each other and really there to support. So if you're interested in participating in that, again, drop Jeannie a note, J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. Beyond that, if you're out there in this domain, what's on your mind? How can we support you? What's happening? Push one. That'll raise a hand in the control panel, and we'll be having a conversation. We've got plenty of time. We've got about 15 minutes left, so we've got plenty of time for some good, deep questions and or some process work. So if you're out there in this land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Are you taking the forgiveness process seriously? And one of the things I realize is that we've been taught something that's so hugely false about forgiveness that oftentimes when people first start to do this work, they just space on, oh, I need to do some forgiveness work around that. Almost to the point of, well, not almost, to the point of resistance. And I realize that part of it is that there's this inertia of this conversation about forgiving them, letting somebody off the hook and believing that that's forgiveness. You know, you've probably been listening to the show when someone calls in, you know, they've been involved in the work and they call in and ask a question. And I ask, you know, well, have you done any worksheets on that? And it's like, it's a revelation. It's like, oh, I never thought of that. There has to be a pattern interrupt created in the mind when trauma comes forward. Otherwise, most people just do the same old thing that they've always done. Well, we're looking to change that game and to change the responses to the dramas and traumas of the world and to let loose, at least energetically, of our participation in those traumas. So how can we support you? What's on your mind?
We
have a
hand
up. Stations. Oh, great. Let's go for it.
It's a 541. I believe this is Miss Julie. And Julie, we got something from you this week, too. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Are you mute challenged, Julie?
Oh,
we're not
yes.
hearing your voice. There you
I
go. Now
that.
You're here. We got you loud and clear. How do you be, young lady?
Oh, it's so funny. It happens, you know. As much as we think we've trained ourselves to unmute, we don't. I was distracted getting myself ready to speak here. Well, things are pretty good. I'm learning a lot all the time about myself. I can't think of anything right now, but I did want to bring up in the Course in Miracles lesson 121, it says forgiveness is the key to happiness. By the way, is my voice okay? Because I've noticed when I re-listen, sometimes it sounds real kind of deep and bass, and I don't know. Okay, good. I had a little note in it that said that one time you mentioned that this lesson, paragraph 8, is the only place in A Course in Miracles that defines forgiveness in the same manner as the Aramaic. And I thought that was pretty profound. And I'm glad I marked it because how would I ever remember that? But now I'm being reminded. So, but the thing is, I read paragraph 8 and I don't get it. So, but what this
read paragraph 8
talks
to us.
About, yeah, I will in a minute. This paragraph talks about the unforgiving mind. You know, almost every paragraph up to there describes what an unforgiving mind is, full of fear.
That's a hilarious chapter there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, no, not really, but yes. But I mean, it's true, and I can see, you know, but I've always, my habit from the Course in Miracles is that I've looked out in the world to see what needs to be forgiven out there instead of doing the Aramaic forgiveness work. And so I can see the unforgiving mind in someone else, but what about me? So I read it this time with me in mind. And so I'm just reading the first part of each paragraph first, okay? The first sentence. Okay, so here is the answer to your search for peace. The unforgiving mind is full of fear and offers love no room to be itself, no place where it can spread its wings in peace and soar above the turmoil of the world. The unforgiving mind, this is paragraph 3 now, is torn with doubt, confused about itself and all it sees, afraid and angry, weak and blustering, afraid to go ahead, afraid to stay, afraid to waken or go to sleep, afraid of every sound, yet more afraid of stillness, terrified of darkness, yet more terrified at the approach of light. That's a paragraph of a sentence, okay? And then paragraph 4 starts with, the unforgiving mind sees no mistakes, but only sins. Paragraph 5, the unforgiving mind is in despair without the prospect of a future which can offer anything but more despair. And 6, forgiveness is required, acquired. Ah, see, it is not inherent in the mind which cannot sin. As sin is an idea you taught yourself, forgiveness must be learned by you as well, but from a teacher other than yourself, who represents the other self in you. Through him, you learn, capital him, through him, you learn how to forgive the self you think you made and let it disappear. Thus you return your mind as one to him who is yourself and who can never sin. Okay, so to me, that's very Aramaic. That's the sixth paragraph.
Ties right in.
Yeah, and then, okay, I'm getting to seven and eight. I think this is useful. I hope that it is for others. It's lesson 121 in A Course in Miracles. And that was like a few days ago, the lesson on May 1st. Okay, each unforgiving, this is paragraph seven, each unforgiving mind presents you with an opportunity to teach your own how to forgive itself. Each one awaits a release from hell through you and turns to you imploringly for heaven here and now. It has no hope, the unforgiving mind. It has no hope, but you become its hope. And as its hope, do you become your own. The unforgiving mind must learn through your forgiveness that it has been saved from hell. And as you teach salvation, you will learn. Yet all your teaching and your learning will not be of you, but of the teacher, capital teacher, who was given you to show the way to you. All right, so here's paragraph eight. So today we practice learning to forgive. If you are willing, you can learn today to take the key to happiness and use it on your own behalf. We will devote 10 minutes in the morning and at night another 10 to learning how to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness too. So it doesn't really say a lot about the Aramaic
process. Because it's not that
exactly.
That's because it's not that lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That, well, it's okay. Not paragraph eight in that lesson.
Oh, there you go. But it's a great lesson to read because
these
are the traps that my unforgiving mind likes to fall into sometimes. And so this is really clarifying it again, and I really feel that through Aramaic forgiveness work that I've done, I've overcome a lot of this, and I can see all the mistakes I make. But this is a good one to read again, for sure. So here's some more. Let's just read it. Is that okay with you?
Go for it.
There's one more. Paragraph 9 is another unforgiving mind definition, description. The unforgiving mind does not believe that giving and receiving are the same. Yet we will try to learn today that they are one through practicing forgiveness toward one whom you think of as an enemy and one whom you consider a friend. As you learn to see them both as one, we will extend the lesson to yourself and see that their escape is included in yours. Now, is that maybe paragraph 9 the one that you might have been talking about?
No, not at all.
Well, anyway, it's cool. Anytime I notice you mentioning a reference to the Course in Miracles and I happen to have my copy available at hand, I make a note of it because I just feel like you have really, Michael Rice, you have integrated so much for us from doing your work and being shown. So thank you for that. And I have a whole pile of my forgiveness work to do, and I'm staying in touch with it better than usual because I feel like I'm really
awesome.
Able to release some things. Yeah.
Right.
As I was sharing this yesterday, I caught myself, now that I'm reading these words, the unforgiving mind, I noticed that my unforgiving mind was in operation. When really I thought it was my partner's unforgiving mind reprimanding me for something I did, you know. And let me show you how slippery it is. You know it's slippery. I'll make it really short, unless you have a hand up for somebody else.
Go ahead.
Okay. We were at a restaurant, and it was taking a long time for the food to come. But I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I was in the present moment having a nice time. But then when it all came at once. And so there was this salad to eat that usually, in my mind, should be first, and then the other food can come, and that would have even taken up some of the long wait if she would have only brought the salad first. Okay, there's my unforgiving mind, and I think I'm right.
Looking for a reason for upset to play out its content.
There's you're right. It's an underlying energy going on that I'm really carrying that I formerly was projecting onto my partner, right?
Right.
But then this gave it an outlet. So
now turn to page.
I'm not done.
Turn
but
to
go
lesson.
Ahead. All right. Okay.
Well, if you want to get to the definition, let's go to lesson 164.
Yes.
We've only got about
three minutes
left, so.
Okay, that's good.
Let's go to paragraph 8 on lesson 164.
Oh, you said I wrote in the margin, Michael writes, says this is the definition of Aramaic forgiveness. Okay, good.
Lesson 164.
Mm-hmm.
Paragraph 8. You there?
Want me to read it?
Go ahead.
I have it underlined. Yeah, the pink part that I underlined. Open the curtain in your practicing by merely letting go all the things you think you want.
Your goals.
Goal, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your trifling treasures put away.
Trifling treasures.
Yeah, okay. Your trifling treasures put away and leave a clean and open space within your mind where Christ can come, carving out a space
there
to
you
talk
go.
About that. Yep,
there's forgiveness.
It. And offer you the treasure of salvation. Christ can come and offer
saved
you
saved from your
the
own
treasure.
Insanity.
Yes.
So when you cancel the goal that's driving perception, now I didn't understand this. I didn't see this in the course until I had worked with it in the Aramaic, and then it was like, oh, there it is. So you're canceling a goal. And, you know, there's another place where the course talks about you must be aware of the distorting power of the way you want it to be. Because when you set a goal, your mind's purpose is to grab all the information it has to back up and make what that goal is aiming for available.
Mm-hmm.
And those goals, the course refers to, if you want anything other than to live as a human being, as love, then everything you want is a trifling treasure. It is meaningless until you get that one first.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you're living as a human being, go create your world. You know, ask for, want anything you want, but you'll be wanting it from being. You'll create it from being, and everything will be different. But if you've got a trifling treasure, oh, I wanted them to bring that food earlier. Oh, man, I can hostility about not being served. I can do hostility now. Oh, boy. Oh, that food should have been better. You can do all kinds of things.
And I'd forgotten
but
about it, too, until she brought the food all at once. And then I'm going, I got triggered. I let myself get triggered. Like, she didn't do that the right way.
There you go. Now, let me just, this may not be mean anything or be relative to anything. We've only got a minute left. I'm going to talk to you as complete. So let me just ask you how it felt when your power person accused you of not doing it the right way.
Yes. Yeah, it
felt
feels
just
awful.
Like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. Just like when you were sitting there and she didn't do it the right way. And you were being invited to forgive that in you once again. To put that trifling treasure away so you can clean up what your power person did to you when they accused you of not doing it the right way. And life is fraught with opportunity. Sometimes it would be nice if it weren't so fraught, but its purpose is to keep showing us what it is we need to forgive. So there's probably your most important worksheet out of the conversation for the day.
And I wrote it down, and I'm going to do it. And I just want to say, not only that, please, real quick, do I have a few seconds? So my partner's sitting there watching me attack the waitress, right? And he goes into embarrassment. First of all, he reprimanded me and corrected me, but it was his embarrassment. And so there we are, two of us triggering, you know, I triggered that.
Matching
him,
bags
which
of
was
garbage.
Cool. Indirect way. It was my indirect way of attacking him, too. And so, so I have an unforgiving mind that I need to wrestle with a little or clear out.
There you are. It's got gifts for you, just like that. Who was it that wrestled with the angel until he got the gift? There you go.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening and hearing me, and it felt good to share that with you. Thank you.
All right, sweet. Well, the show's going to cut us off. I'm just going to say, everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. You can give it. The world needs it. Blessings. Bye-bye.